Hello, you're listening to Faith Family Worship Center's podcast number 131 for October 18th, 2009. In this podcast, Pastor Archie shares his message titled Preview of the Armageddon. Enjoy.
Divided in three major divisions. John the Apostle has been commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to write this book. So he said in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, he said, write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. So John was to write the things that he had seen, he was to write the things which are, and he was to write the things which will take place later. That's the outline of the book of Revelation. That's in the first chapter. Now, the things which he had seen, that was John, what he saw, is in chapter 1 of Revelation. And what did he see? He saw the glorified Christ, the resurrected glorified Christ. You remember that Jesus Christ died on the cross? He rose again on the third day. He stayed with disciples for 40 days and preaching the kingdom of God. And after 10 days, he went up to heaven. And it was John the Apostle in the Isle of Patmos, about 90 years towards the end of the first century, when he wrote this book. So Jesus Christ was already in heaven. But in the Isle of Patmos, he saw the resurrected Christ in glory and in majesty and in power. He did not see Jesus Christ as a savior this time, but he saw Jesus Christ as the Lord, the sovereign God, as king and as judge of all the earth. That's what John saw, the things that he saw about the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 1. Now John quickly moves us to chapters 2 and chapters 3, which talks about the things which are. And John saw in that in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Revelation, there were seven messages to the seven churches that represent the church age. He saw Jesus Christ is standing among the lampstands of the church. The lampstands represents the church. And Jesus Christ gave seven messages to seven churches. And we are in that age today. We are in the church age. Church age. We're living in that period beginning with the time of the apostles up to the rapture of the church, when the church is taken out of this world. Then beginning from chapter 4 to the end of the book, chapter 22, is the third division, which talks about the things which will take place later. And this is the major portion of the book of Revelation. It's mostly prophecy, deals with prophecy, because the book of Revelation is primarily a book of prophecy. Now, what are the things that shall take place later? What are the things? The first thing that will happen, that we can expect any time, any moment, any second to occur, is the rapture of the church. Amen. Now, what is the rapture of the church? The rapture of the church is the taking away of the saints of God from this world to meet Jesus Christ in the air and into heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 to 17 says, this is what the Bible says, for the Lord himself, Jesus Christ, will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord forever and ever. Is that not comforting with you? If you look at the things that are happening in this world today, if you look at the things, the suffering, all the pain and the aches that we have. Sometimes we feel and say, Lord, come now. See, there will be a glorious time when we're going to meet Jesus Christ in the air. And the Bible says there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more death, no more debt. D-E-B-T. Amen. Not only D-A-T-H, but debt. Because everything will be provided for us in heaven. All right? So after the church is taken out, the Bible speaks about a period of a great tribulation. And Jesus warned about this in Matthew 24, 21, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor shall ever be. So this time of great tribulation will be so bad, so horrible, that among the problems, the sufferings, since the beginning of this world until the time that Jesus Christ comes back, nothing will compare. And I don't want you to be there. I don't want myself to be there. Amen? That's why we have a responsibility to pray and win our brothers and sisters, our relatives, into the Lord. And the Bible calls this in the Old Testament the time of Jacob's trouble. Why? Because again, God will deal with his ancient holy people, the Israelites, the Jews. So it will be a period of horrible tribulation. And during that period, a world dictator will arise. And he's called by many names and figures in the Bible. He's called the beast. He's called the Antichrist. He's called the man of sin. He's called the wicked one. He's called the lawless one, the son of perdition. He's called the prince that will come, the little horn that will come out. And he will virtually hold sway over the entire world. And he will be one of the last dictator that the world will ever see. The last Roman Caesar, because out of the ancient revived Roman Empire will be this confederation of 10 nations, and out of that nations will come the Antichrist. And initially, when it comes, he will make a 7-year treaty with the nation of Israel, promising Israel to protect the nation of Israel, because Israel right now is surrounded by so many enemies. 6 million Jews surrounded by 200 or more enemies surrounding here, plus all the other countries that hate the nation of Israel. So the Antichrist will come in a promising peace and protection upon the nation of Israel. But at the middle of the 7-year treaty, he will break the treaty and turn against the Jews. And he will come into the temple of God, which we believe that the temple in Jerusalem will be rebuilt, because he will go into the temple and declare himself to be as God. And after that, he will persecute the Jews, and his passion is to exterminate God's people again. But during that time, Jesus Christ will come. So this time he will come not for the saints, because the saints are already in heaven, but he will come with the saints. Amen? He will come with the saints. Now this time he's not coming in secret, but he's coming in glory, as the Bible says, in glory and power, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is at this time that the Antichrist, together with the false prophets, will have gathered the armies of the world around Jerusalem with the last move to attack Jerusalem in the valley of Megiddo. The Bible calls Armageddon. So in preparation for the war in Armageddon. So that's why in this chapter, we're looking at the preview of what will happen. Preview of what will happen. Now, in Revelation chapter 14, verse 14, this battle is likened to a harvest. We call this a figure of speech or simile. So, I would like us to notice three things about this harvest or preview of the book of Armageddon. Let's look, number one, let's look at the Lord of the harvest. Number two, the Lord of the harvest. Secondly, the law of the harvest and some lessons from the harvest. All right, now the Lord of the harvest. Who is the Lord of this harvest? Remember again that the harvest, being a harvest of judgment, underworld is surely going to come. Because this world had planted and sown what? Rebellion against God. We're planted and sown sin. We're planted and sown unbelief, hatred of God, disregard to the laws of God. Today, people are flaunting against the Word of God and pointing their fist and finger against God. But just as surely as the world has planted and sown all these things, surely there is a coming judgment. Because the Bible says, God is not mocked. God is not mocked. As I say, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever man sows, he also will reap. So as surely as I'm standing here, I can surely say by the word of God that this world is headed for judgment. So let's look what will happen. Now our text in Revelation 14 verse 14 says, then I look and behold a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. Now the crown tells us that he is the Lord. And the sickle, who is the sickle? A sharp instrument like a curb knife that will cut the wheat. And it says that he is the Lord of the harvest. So the Lord of the harvest is no one except the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if you remember that what we already learned about Jesus Christ in chapter 1, it says in verse 7, I believe, that behold, he's coming with clouds. So Jesus Christ is coming in the clouds. Clouds. And it also says that Jesus called the Son of Man, chapter 1. So the one who wears the crown is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. But this time, it's a picture not of salvation, but a picture of judgment. He's coming as a judge this time. And I'm telling you right now that you will meet Jesus Christ. All of us will meet Jesus Christ. We're going to meet him either as a savior or we're going to meet him as a judge. No man can escape the time when all of us will stand before the judgment of God. Either you're going to meet him as the Lord who gathers, as the Bible says, his wheat into the barn, or the one who cast out the chaff with unquenchable fire into the furnace. You know, the chaff are those unbelievers, unrighteous, wicked people. So Jesus Christ is the Lord of the harvest. Now, what harvest is this? Now, to understand this portion in the Revelation, I would like you to turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 13. And I believe these two types of scripture are related towards one another. Chapter 13 of the book of Matthew, verse 24. And you know that the parables that Jesus Christ revealed or taught about, he was teaching about the mysteries of the kingdom. And this is a parable of the mystery of the kingdom of God that will come. All right, Matthew chapter 13. Are you with me? Verse 24. 24:30. It says here, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first, gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now the wheat are, of course, the Bible says, the good seed, which are the sons of God, the sons of the kingdom, the believers. All right, so now this is talking about a harvest. All right, now what does this harvest mean? Jesus explains this in verse 36. You go further, verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went to the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Right? Jesus Christ. The field is the world, and the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. So who's the enemy here? Who sowed the tares? The devil. All right, then it says here, therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be nothing wailing of teeth. Now, who are the tares here? Who are the tares? I believe the tares are unsaved people who lived during the time of Christendom. They have the form of godliness, the Bible says, but they deny the power thereof. So these are false or counterfeit believers or Christians. See, the tares, if you look at the Bible, or you look at the dictionary, what is a tare? Is a tare like a plant or a weed that resembles a wheat. In the beginning, you cannot distinguish them from the real wheat. It's only after the fruit comes out that you will distinguish them and you can tell the difference. It is called darnel, it is poisonous, and farmers would weed out the tares just before the wheat harvest. So the tares, I believe, represent wicked, unsaved people and counterfeit Christians. And who are the reapers? Reapers. The reapers are the angels. And when is this harvest? It's the end of the age or end of the world. That's why it says here, therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in fire, so it will be at the end of the world. So here we see here two harvests. Harvest for the tares and the harvest for the wheat. As I said, the harvest for the wheat is for the believers, that God will bring all his believers into his kingdom. Now, as we go back to Revelation chapter 14, for a moment, again, we see here two types of harvest. And what is harvest? Again, a harvest of the tares, the harvest of the wicked ones, that's in verses 14 to 16, and the harvest of the vine, verses 18 to 19, the harvest of the grain, and the harvest of the grape. I believe that the first harvest deals with Christendom, an unsaved people, religious pretenders. But I believe the second harvest is God's general judgment upon the ungodly world. Both of these will be judged, and we're going to see that later. But notice here that the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of the harvest, and he has a sharp sickle in his hand, which means that he's able to differentiate the wheat from the tares. That's why Jesus said, let them both grow together until the harvest, otherwise you might root out the good seed also, or the good wheat also. And only God knows the difference in the hearts of people. I don't know your heart. Only God knows your heart, right? And only Jesus Christ is able to judge. Able to judge. That's why the Bible says in John chapter 5, it says, the Father judges no one but has committed all judgment to the Son. So the point here is Jesus Christ is the Lord of the harvest. The Lord of the harvest. And is ready to what? To thrust his sickle and on this world. On this world. For the time of harvest is ready. So he's the Lord of the harvest. Now the law of the harvest. What is the law of the harvest? If you plant a tomato, what do you reap? Corn? Now, three basic laws of harvest. Number one, you always reap what you sow. Right? You always reap what you sow. That's why the Bible says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will also he reaps. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So whatever you reap, you will sow. The second law is that you reap later than you sow. You don't expect to plant today and reap today, no. You reap later than you sow. You allow the grain to what? To sprout, to germinate, and the wheat to grow and bear fruit, then you what? You harvest. So you reap later than you sow. And the other one is you reap more than you sow. You reap more than you sow. If you plant tomato, one plant of tomato, one seed of tomato, you're going to reap what? A basket of tomatoes. Right? Basket of tomatoes. So, if you apply these laws into this harvest that he's talking about here in the book Revelation, again, the law of harvest is judgment, right? I mean, the harvest here is talking about judgment, right? So it says in verse 15, and another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice, who said on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Now, what is being, what are we going to reap? What is angels going to reap? You remember that the angels will be the reapers? Under the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who sit on the cloud, the one with a hard, sharp sickle, but there's also another angel there who has a sharp sickle. Says, what has this world been sowing? As I said a while ago, this world has been sowing what? Sin. This world has been planting and sowing rebellion against God. This world has been sowing anarchy, hatred towards God, and all the wickedness. And God's law is not going to be broken. Friends, brothers, and sisters, this world must reap judgment of these things, because again, God is not mocked. His word cannot be broken. So whatever this world has sown, the world is going to reap. So in your life, in my life, you have made a decision. You have made a decision. You have made a decision to forsake God, serve the devil, sow to your flesh, live as there's no God, as if there's no God. live by your own desires, I can guarantee you God will also what? Judge you, the God in heaven. You are you going to reap what you have sown? Because for every kick, there is a kickback. Right? But there's also a positive side of here. Amen? It's a positive side. Because if you sow to your spirit, the Bible says, you will also reap everlasting life. Amen? Because whatever you sow, you shall also reap. You cannot do good and fail to reap. Even the Bible says a cup of cold water, if you give it in the name of a disciple, you will not lose your what? Reward. Everything you do for Jesus is going to what? Sprout and bear fruit. I love what Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So how's the blessing of God? Huh? Good measure. With the measure that you keep, I mean you plant, it will be measured to you. Kung counting measure, unang isang teaspoonful lang, you're gonna reap teaspoonful blessing. But if you give a shovel full, yung malaking shovel, you're gonna receive a shovel full of blessing. So don't get mad at God because you don't get your blessing. Probably you just planted a little bit. See that? But if you look at the blessing of God, it said, good measure, press down, pagkatapos shaking together, and running over. Sa Tagalog ay ano? Siksik? Look, ano? Siksik? Liglig, umaapaw. Amen. That's the law of sowing and reaping. Okay. If you sow bad things, you're gonna reap it. But if you sow good things, the things of God, the Lord will bless you. So what do you need today? You start giving. Amen. What do you need? You plant a seed. You plant a seed. Do you need a friend? Do you need a friend? How many seeds of friendship have you planted? Because the Bible says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. If you are friendly, you're going to have friends, right? You want people to love you, right? Start loving people. Kito mga masusungit dyan, mga complainer, mga abusado, love them. Because the more you give love, the more that you're going to receive love. So whatever you plant, that's what you're going to sow. Amen? So negatively or positively. But I look at the positive side. I like the positive side. So this is the second law of a harvest, right? The world is going to reap what is sown, and the world has rejected Christ and is going to reap. So that's the first law. Now the second law, you reap later than you sow. Verse 15 again says, the harvest of the earth being ripe, and the harvest is at the end of the age. And I believe it's harvest time on this earth. But some people are confused. They think that they can get by with their sin because God has not judged them yet, forgetting that God is a good God. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that produces, that brings repentance upon us. God has been good to you. That's why He is allowing you to live that way until you repent of your sin, because He's long-suffering towards you. All right? You see, in the Old Testament, the Bible says in the book of Genesis, he talked to Abraham. In Genesis, he said that the fourth generation will come from Egypt because the sin, the iniquity of the Amorites has not yet been full. He's talking about here that sin has to reach a critical level. The command of God to take the land from the Canaanites people or the Amorites would come only when their iniquity was complete. God was waiting for the ripening of judgment. And I believe that our world today is already ripe for judgment. And only God knows when that time is. Only God knows when that, how ripe that is. And then he put his sickle. But don't let God's slowness to judge deceive you. Don't think that because God is not judging us right now, our sin right now, that he will not judge, but because he will judge. Hear what the apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 2, verse 4 to 6. It says here, or do you despise the riches of God's goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering? He's talking to us today. He's not only talking to the world, but he's talking to us. He says, do you despise the riches of God's goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath. Ibig sabihin, iniipo ng Panginoon yung ano natin. Until it comes to a point when he says, enough is enough. Right? Day of wrath and revelation, the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish in every soul of man who does evil. Later, you reap later than you sow. And thirdly, you reap more than you sow. Don't you realize that this world is headed for a holocaust, another holocaust? Revelation 14 again says here, another angel came out of the altar who had a power over fire. He cried out with a loud voice to him who had a sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. One seed of grape planted, but here now we said clusters of grapes that are fully ripe. Now when you talk about grapes in the Old Testament, talks about one of the things it talks about is judgment. Of course it talks about grapes, the vineyard of the Lord as the nation of Israel. It talks about Israel as the vineyard of God. God has tended it, cared for it, but Israel, they rejected God and became a white grapes. There was no fruit in their lives. Of course, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the vine also in the New Testament, and we are the branches. But in the Old Testament, it talks about the winepress of God's wrath, talks about judgment. And it says here, so the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it in the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city. And blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs. What does this mean? Now, what is a winepress? A winepress is a big, container? I don't know how big it is. But to get the wine or the juice from the grapes, they put the grapes in this big trough or container, and they, with their bare feet, they trampled it until the juice goes out and collected in a big vat. And again, I said, this is a picture in the Old Testament of the wrath of God. And if you apply this image here, it says here that the winepress is symbolic of the unbelievable quantity of blood that will be shed. All right. Now, it says here, 1,600 furlongs is how long is that? This nail about 200 miles. And it says here that the blood will rise up, it says here, and the winepress was trampled outside the city, and the blood came out of the winepress up to the horse's bridle for 1,600 furlongs. How tall is the bridle of a horse? 3 feet? 4 feet, maybe? So for 200 miles, blood will flow. Can you imagine that? Around Jerusalem, because God will gather all the armies of the world in that area to fight against God. And we read in chapter 9 of Revelation that when the sixth angel blow his trumpet, the Bible says the river Euphrates will be opened up or dried up, and 200 million army will march from the east. You say, is this figurative or literal? You can imagine how much blood will that be. But imagine 200 million soldiers and all the other millions from the rest of the world, the armies of the world, will gather together under the banner of the Antichrist and the false prophet. They will fight the Lord Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ will destroy his enemies from the mouth, from the word that comes out of this mouth, the Bible says. And there'll be a winepress, and these people are trodden under the feet of men. So, as I said, whatever you sow will be ripped more. So the world has sown the wind, as the Bible says, but he will reap the whirlwind. Whirlwind. Well, I don't want to end in a note, sad note over here. But that's coming. That's why we need to prepare. Amen? We need to escape the judgment of God. And the only way to escape the judgment of God is to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ was already judged for us on the cross. The wrath of God fell upon him on the cross. But those who put their trust in him will not be judged again. That's why the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. What is the lesson? Well, the Bible also says, he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Amen. What he's talking about here? If there is a great harvest of judgment, God is calling us to a great harvest of the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Let's plant, sow the Spirit of God in the hearts of people so that they will have eternal life. So what should we do? We should be soul winners. Soul winners. The Bible says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Amen. And if you're a Christian today, you hear all these things going on, do not be discouraged. Keep on serving the Lord. Amen. It says here, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's not lose heart, but continue in our Christian life. Continue serving God. Continue become passionate in loving God. Amen. Don't give up coming to church. Don't give up witnessing. Don't give up praying. Don't give up reading the Word of God. Instead, we should be on hot for the Lord Jesus Christ. As the days are becoming evil, let's be more on fire for the Lord. I also don't want to get discouraged, because when I see evil things intensifying around us, I simply know that the time is getting ripe for judgment. But at the same time, there's also better things coming. Because if you look at the feast of the tabernacle in the Bible, it comes right after the harvest. And what is the feast of the tabernacle? It was a time of joy, a time of celebration, a time of, it's a happy feast. They celebrated God's goodness to remember how they once lived in tents, in tabernacles, in their wanderings in the wilderness 40 years. And that tells me this, that when the world is ending, judgment is coming, there is a better thing that's coming after that. And what is that? You call it the millennium. Millennial reign of Christ. And the Bible says we shall reign with Him, with Christ forever and ever and ever. And you know what happens during the millennium? The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the calf and the young lions and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The calf and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the wind child shall put his hand on the viper's den, and they shall not get hurt. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, says the Lord, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the seas cover, as the waters cover the sea. So the knowledge of God will cover this whole earth. And the Bible says, a law and the word of God shall come out of Zion, from Jerusalem. He will judge the nations. And the Bible says, they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. So in the millennium, there's no more fighting. No more wars. Amen. They will turn their what? Their swords into plowshares. And plowshares, instrument to plant and to reap, right? Okay. So that encourages me. Amen. So I believe that we're not only entering a harvest time, but the feast of the tabernacle is around the corner. Amen. So don't let some people discourage you. Don't let the hypocrites tell you, oh, I don't want to come to your church because there are so many hypocrites. But if they do that, they're going to live with all the hypocrites in the world and with the devil. All right? But focus your eyes on Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Amen. Focus your eyes on Jesus. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who endured the cross, right? Endured the shame, so that now he is at the right hand of God the Father. So, but understand this, the world is headed toward Armageddon. The question is, whose side of the battle are you in? Are you with Christ? Or are you with the enemies of Christ? Amen. Let's stand up together and let's worship the Lord.
And that was Pastor Archie and his sermon titled Preview of Armageddon. If you would like to join us for our Sunday service, our address is 6535 Westbury Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Our Sunday morning service starts at 10:45 a.m. You may reach us by phone. Our number is 773-637-2422. Our email is ffwcchicago@yahoo.com. And please do check out the podcast online at Faith Family Worship Center. Podomatic, spelled podomatic.com. Until next time, take care and God bless. Bye.